So this month, our series is titled Tailor-Made. This series will deliver a clear scriptural presentation on the biblical definition of spiritual warfare, what spiritual warfare is and what it is not. Armed with the knowledge of who you are in Christ, you will be dressed in dangerous. And I'm not talking about on a Sunday. You know who I'm talking about. Look to your neighbor. Is that you? Is that you? Okay. I'm talking about spiritual, not just looking your best on a Sunday. We're going to be dangerous to the works of darkness, unflinching in the face of conflict and fully equipped to take on opposition from our spiritual foe. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says, "The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." Come on, that's good. Now, the last Sunday of each month, if you know it or you don't know it, is our Mission Sunday. And today we're blessed because not always on the last Sunday of the month do we have a missionary here, but we always give to a different missions location, program, need, whatever it is, we pray. And we ask the Lord where we should focus. And Dave Wagner's the head of that missions at our church. And you'll probably get those phone calls, hopefully, if you're on our call list, and you'll get those pretty much every month. But this month, we have special guests for our Mission Sunday. So above your tithes, if you come and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord, that's why we have these up here. God gives us an opportunity to bring our tithes to Him, and He blesses. It says, "Test me in this. Bring me your tithe. Test me and see what I will do." And he tests us, and He says, "If you do this, I will overflow your vats." Vats is an old word or something you used to do. "I'll overflow where your container is of all your harvest. I'll overflow that. See what I will do." And so God offers us to come and bring our tithes and offerings. We also have one in the foyer there. But above your tithes, there's an offering that we can give unto the Lord, and we can give toward this. And we're going to have a moment at the end to give toward that. And everything from this month for missions is going to go directly to the missions work here. So Pastor Mike and Lombard and his wife Pam, they've served as pastors in the States for 30 years. And they were known for their kingdom work and their kingdom view of ministry, which gave them a heart to pastor a city and not just a church. With this focus, they were involved in citywide ministries with other churches, including outreach, prayer, ministries for the poor, food distribution, and discipleship. Their ministry has been constantly focused on equipping and empowering new leaders. They have been missionaries to Trinidad and Tobago since 2010. Now, I'm going to talk to you all about that in January, and we're all going to be like, "I think God's calling me to Trinidad and Tobago." Yeah, whatever. But they're raising up another generation of global leaders through their training in missions and evangelism. They've established a missions training school called the School of Global Leadership in Trinidad, which is a partnership between Open Bible Churches of the United States and Open Bible Standard Churches of Trinidad and Tobago. Now, Pastor Lombard and his wife are both graduates of Open Bible College and In-State Global Bible College and have been involved in leadership with Open Bible Churches. Now, they have two sons that are actually personal friends of mine that I've known for quite a while, and they also have a daughter. And they're all married, and they've given them 11 grandchildren. Woo! Which one's your favorite? Just joking. We'll ask later. Yeah. Which one? Tell me afterwards. Okay. What does it rhyme with? I'm just joking. They say that their greatest accomplishments in life is raising children who walk out God's destiny for their lives. Now, Pastor Lombard and Pam are both preachers and teachers who communicate biblical truth in a way that's understandable and applicable. They are church planters, Bible school teachers, pastors, missionaries, mentors, and I said it before, they're ninjas, and I get to add what I want in here, a bunch of descriptions, and they're visionary leaders with the heart for the lost and the hurting. Church, will you please give Pastor Mike and Pam Lombard a warm First Open Bible welcome?
Hey, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Can I just tell you, you look good today.
Yeah.
Turn to your neighbor and say, "You look good." I have to tell you this. We We drove in this morning and we were greeted with young people holding signs greeting us to church. I'm going, this is amazing. I wish every church greeted people like that. That was wonderful. Yeah. I also want to say, I love this church, how patient you are in worship to let God work. And all of the people that come up front, and some of you are sitting back there saying, I just don't think I'd ever go up front. Listen, there's something
as long
about,
as you're worshiping where you're sitting,
there's
I'm
something
okay
about
it.
Taking a step toward God. When you take a step toward God, yeah. He takes a step toward you. And I can tell you this without, I don't even have to interview anyone. Everybody who comes up to the front to worship, to pray during worship, not one of them regrets it.
Amen.
What?
We should probably acknowledge that we have some family in the
room.
Oh,
yes, we have family here. First of all,
you may not even know that there's someone that.
So, Jeff and Cheryl Kingery, where are you? Wave hands. I don't know. Right there. Wave them higher. Come on.
High in the sky. Okay, let the whole world know.
So, that's my cousin. In fact, they were missionaries in Papua New Guinea. And next to them, I have to have my aunt stand. Stand.
Oh,
no, you've
stand?
Got to. Ever stand. This is my Aunt Amelia. So, this is what you need to know about her. So, last year, she went on a missions trip to Trinidad. She's in her 80s. I normally don't tell people women's age. She's in her 80s. This lady went on a missions trip. And I tell you, if she can do it, any of you can go on a missions trip.
Just because I can't scan the room very quickly. Are there any other family members
yeah,
here?
Yeah, we have our sister.
Where's Christy?
Where's Christy? Right in the
back row.
See,
you know,
she's got the big smile.
Okay, I'm going to tell you that if we spit, we're not going to reach you, but the blessing is like right here in the front row. I'm just telling you.
And she has more.
And
she
her
has
husband,
more,
Cal.
More family with them. So thank you all for being with
yeah.
us. And
yeah, it's
we
awesome.
We have a lot of people we know, like Joe Vandenberg. I was friends with him from junior high on.
You're saying we've been around for a while?
Oh, please.
You know.
And then I need to say one more comment, because on the front row, John and your wife, 16 years ago, they introduced themselves to us when we were first here. We hadn't even been missionaries, didn't know what we were doing, and they introduced themselves. So I want to thank you for that, and we've remembered you since then.
Thank you. You know, not only are we missionaries, but we train missionaries. And we have trained some of the new and up-and-coming missionaries for Open Bible that are on the field right now, came through the School of Global Leadership. But I would like to say something to you, kind of as Mama Pam. At Kenya, Africa, I'm Mama Pam. And I want to tell you that you need to be praying for your missionaries. If you are a missionary, you have a target painted on your forehead. When you cross the ocean, or when you choose to be a missionary even in the States, when you choose to cross a line into another culture, you are making the enemy very, very angry. It's kind of like stirring a hornet's nest. Okay, and so as Mama Pam, I want to just tell you that we've got some young, we have a young couple that has come to Trinidad recently. They're related to the Colums? Here in this church, we have three new missionaries in Tijuana, Mexico, that have come through the School of Global Leadership, as well as many Trinidadians who are in different parts of the world that have come through some training of ours. And
Was this handed out to you as you came in? Okay,
good.
So that shares a little bit.
Yeah.
And one of the big changes that's happening, we have this bookmark for you.
Yeah.
So it has us, but Brent and Sarah Kelderman have joined us. And it's amazing what's starting to happen. We're retooling everything with them. The next one down, we have Nicole. She's been in the Middle East. She's in the States for a couple of years working with us on promotion, but also opening up the Middle East to mission trips. And finally, the last one is Douglas Rosales and his wife. They're Venezuelans. They've been in Trinidad for probably 15 years. And he trains Latin American people in missions. He's brought them to Trinidad and trained them, and he's been at the Open Bible Church pastoring Spanish churches, mainly Venezuelans, and he's ready to get back into missions also. So by this fall, when we launch a lot of this stuff, we're going to have Spanish missions training also. So yeah. We're really excited about that.
And the training isn't just for those who want to become vocational missionaries. We are in the process of writing curriculum that can be used in the local church. If you're going on any missions trip anywhere, we're going to have a four-week kind of like a study that's preparing you to go on that trip, as well as those who want to become missionaries, we'll be having some online training. So it's pretty exciting. So a lot of the things that are happening, we're trying to keep up with it. Yeah.
Okay, multimedia, we're going to go through the slides real fast. We're going to skip through some of them. So let's start with those. Go to the next slide. So we're in Trinidad, which is the last Caribbean island, 6 miles from Venezuela. On a sunny day, we can see Venezuela. Next slide.
A lot of sunny days in Trinidad.
So 1.4 million people in Trinidad, but we have 100 open Bible churches there. And I work with the missions department there, and we actually feel like we don't have enough churches. And we have a real push now to plant more churches this coming year. In fact, there's more training next month just to raise up leaders. So it's pretty amazing. They have sent missionaries into 4 countries, but as of right now, we have Open Bible from Trinidad has churches in 9 countries. They planted a church in Kenya. They've planted 2 in the States, and maybe by the end of the year, we'll be in 3 more countries. It's just crazy what God is opening up. We're seeing just the advancement of the gospel.
And you need to understand that missionaries from North America 70 years ago went to Trinidad and discipled, and they did the job well. And many of the pastors, and including the National Board of Trinidad and Tobago right now of Open Bible Churches, are people that were discipled by the missionaries 70 years ago. And so it's a great success story of discipleship, because you disciple for the disciple to disciple for that disciple to disciple, right? Say that 5 times real quick. And so
my brain is slow catching up with what you're saying.
And so that's what it's all about, is duplicating and reproducing ourselves and others. So it's exciting.
So Pastor Mark Cullum and his wife's parents were missionaries years ago in Trinidad and started the Open Bible High School. And they are just so respected.
Yeah. Which is still functioning today with over 400 students. So, yeah, so it's a big deal.
Barb Kelderman is just honored. I can't even describe. You wouldn't understand the level of honor for those missionaries. And so she comes, and there is no expenses for her when she reaches that country, because she's honored, because she helped bring the gospel, she and her husband. Yeah. So Brent and Sarah Kelderman, who are with us, are grandkids of those missionaries all those years ago.
Yeah. I know.
Next slide, real quick. So we've had over 360 people from 20 countries. We've hosted them in our home. It's kind of crazy. In fact, we've had times we've had to use Google Translate around the dinner table, which is really interesting. We've actually had almost 2,600 people accept the Lord. It's just it's unbelievable what God has done. When you take a step of faith, then it just opens the door, and God just starts to work.
And the job of a missionary is not to do your own thing. It's to come alongside and partner with what's already going on in that country. So when we have anything that the School of Global Leadership is involved in, we make sure to plug those people into a local church. That's really important to us.
And then we've trained now, it's probably about 500 people from Trinidad in missions and evangelism, because missions and evangelism are basically the same, but with missions you cross a culture. So we've trained them, and they have gone to many countries, 10, 12 countries at least. So it's fun seeing this happen. And I would say the other thing, my wife and I have, during COVID, we were locked out of Trinidad for 2 years, but God opened up Mexico for us, and he opened up Kenya. So we spent maybe as much as 5 months in Mexico, and we've had 3 trips, about 13 weeks in Kenya and Uganda. And what God is doing, it really just blows me away. We take a step of faith, and God does more. 3 years ago, we started a church in Kenya under a tent, and they invited us back, wanted to celebrate and things. We found out they had started 19 more churches during 3 years. So we're there taking these pastors and leaders and just developing them. And in that process, we found six more who said they wanted to plant churches. Four said they wanted to be missionaries. And my wife helped start 40 people in In-State Bible College to raise up more leaders to the church.
One of our values is with missions, and it should be with every believer, is sustainability. In other words, whatever you do, whatever you start, ought to be able to keep going if you're not there. And so that is a big deal. You know, you could say, well, that's because of our age, which I'm not going to tell you exactly what that is. But the point is, everyone who is a believer, everybody you invest in, you should be trying to figure out, how can I help them in a sustainable way? And that's really what discipleship is. And so this last trip to Kenya, was really to just pour into the pastors and the leaders and to get them more discipled, more into the Bible, more into the Word than ever before. Because when we're not there, it's supposed to keep going, right?
So the pastor, I just asked, so what's God's given? What has He given you as a vision? And he said, well, the Lord has given me a vision of reaching 1 million souls. And I said, okay, 1 million souls. I knew how big his church was. I said, this isn't going to work. We got to do more. He says, well, behind this, there's property, and I believe we can get that. And so we can build a church for 5,000. But I said, we're going to have to plant a lot of churches. So now we have to start looking at how are we going to upgrade this and start releasing more pastors and missionaries, reaching 1 million people. That's amazing. That's through us. That's through Open Bible. And so I'm just real excited about that. But God's doing amazing things. Amen. Go to the last slide on these. Yes.
There, okay.
These are things I want my wife to start talking about this.
Well, before I sit down, I want to make sure that you understand that there are lots of ways to be involved in missions. And a lot of times we think, well, the only way to be involved in missions is to go on a missions trip. That is one way, but it's certainly not the only way. How about prayer? I've already mentioned it a little bit. Last night and this morning, I was in contact with our missionary, our Open Bible missionary in Ukraine. Tammy Swales and I talk every week just as encouragement to each other. And yesterday was a very bad day. 300 drones plus other missiles, 11 people killed, 50 people injured at least, and those numbers are probably rising. This is a real missionary who is really living in a war-torn country, and she's your missionary. Do you understand that? She's yours. And so I highly encourage you to pray for your missionaries. Pastor Mike and I have had more than one time over the past 15 years that our lives, our physical lives, were in danger. And we don't put that in the newsletter. We don't put that out there on Facebook, but it's real.
Our last trip to Kenya, East Africa, we had health issues that hit us, and we never get sick like that. But in fact, while I was in, even though we had vaccinations, I got typhoid while we were there. We got other things, multiple sicknesses during that time. And we had to keep going. You couldn't stop and get well. You know, we had doctors were dealing with us, but we just had to keep going.
So everybody can
pray.
But
those prayers really sustain missionaries.
Yeah, okay, not just the prayer team of the church. Every one of you, please pray for your missionaries.
So you can take this, put it in your Bible, and just pray as you see it.
We like to say that go means you. A lot of times we look at the other person and say, well, they're supposed to go or they're going. But go means cross the street. It means cross the school campus. It means cross the office floor. If you're not going to cross an ocean, you're going to cross something. And there are people on the other side of that need to hear about Jesus. So go means you.
So just a minute. Yeah. So Pastor, I just wanted to say in front of your whole congregation, if you decide to come on a missions trip to Trinidad, you get there and we'll cover all your expenses in country. And end of November or December, we're going back to Kenya for 2 weeks. But even if you want to come for part of that and do some training, we'll invite you to come with us. And
well, you
we can
really
talk
are putting
that.
Him on the spot, like in front of the whole world.
In front of them
I'm
all.
I'm just saying.
Those of you who are watching at home, you've just heard me say
I'm
that.
Squirming just a little bit over there. I can see out of my peripheral vision. Okay, so how about sin? If every local church, think about this, every local evangelical church in the United States raised up one missionary, do you know I think the job might just get done sooner than later? Do you know that November 15th, 2022, the world officially passed 8 billion people? And there are over 3 billion people right now who yet have any way to know about Jesus.
They probably won't meet a Christian in their lifetime.
So someone has to go. And I encourage you to raise up someone from this church and send them. I mean, don't you think it would feel like really personal if someone from this church was actually somewhere in the world and you were giving and praying for them? I think that would be awesome. We don't talk a lot about money, and I don't plan to today. I believe that if you catch God's heart for the world, money isn't an issue for any missionary anywhere. And my prayer is that you will catch it, that you will understand that God is all about missions from cover to cover. In fact, one of my favorite quotes is, if you take missions out of the Bible, all you have left are the covers. Okay, because he's a mission God. He loves the world. He loves every culture. So I'm not the preacher today.
She's trying.
No.
We took a pay cut when we became missionaries, but I want you to know my wife and I support 7 or 8 missionaries around the world because we believe that's what it's about.
Amen. And then the last thing is learn. We have no excuse in this day and age not to learn about missions. You know, if you have a smartphone or a laptop, you just go to all kinds of websites. Two of our favorites is Joshua Project, which gives you all kinds of updated statistics on pretty much any country that you would feel like you wanted to pray for. Everything from the, you know, how many religions are there and so forth, how many Christians are there. Also, prayercast.com, we may have mentioned this. We still love this one. 3-minute free, did you hear me? Free videos on every country in the world and how to pray for them. And so if you don't have enough Open Bible missionaries to pray for, you can pray for countries where there isn't even an Open Bible missionary or any missionary. Most cases because it's illegal to be a missionary there. So pray, go, send, give, learn. There's one of those for each of us.
I like to say that instead of complaining about the news, you not need to pray the news. When you hear about countries in the world, God's working in every country in the world. You should start praying and learning about what God's doing. In fact, the country where the gospel is spreading the fastest right now is in Iran. So instead of complaining about what's happening over there, pray for the advancement of the gospel. Put your hands together for my wife. Pastor's going to help her. We're going to talk about tailor-made for the gospel. Father, just be with us in the next few minutes. I pray you'll just release something in this church. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's look at the screen. So they tell us that the shoes make the outfit. So this is a pair of shoes. Go ahead and put it up. This is a pair of shoes which is about $3,000. I think we need to see Pastor wearing these shoes. That's what I think. Okay, the next slide. Look at those. It's about $7,000. Okay, we're not through. Next one. There you go. This is actually about $1 million. Not through. Next slide. Pastor, tell us what these are. Golden Air Jordans, over $1 million. Next slide. Last one. These are, it depends on who you talk to, but it looks like this may be the most expensive shoes in the world, $17 million. So if this is in your price range, then I need to talk to you when service is over. But, you know, there's shoes for everything, fashion, work, athletics, medical field. My daughter was in Trinidad with us for about 3.5 years. She may be watching now. And she told me, she says, Dad, women don't just pick shoes. They pick the right shoes. And when they're dressing up, it's really important what shoes they're wearing. Dad, you have to watch women's shoes. So I'd be sitting on the front row. Our church, post-COVID, it's about 1,500. I'd be sitting on the front row, and she'd go, Dad, look at those shoes. Because the shoes make the outfit. I think when we look at the armor of God, the shoes are part that make the outfit. I want to talk about the gospel of peace. Ephesians 6:15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. It really reflects what's said in Romans 10, 13 to 15. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. Say, bring. So the good news is brought to people. All are part of this armor is really intended to be moving forward. Now, I think all of it is used going forward. But there's part of it that's used where you are to take a stand. It's like you can say to the enemy when he's messing with you, the enemy's messing with my family, you know, and so we're doing that, where you take a stand and you say, you can come this far and no more. This is the line. You can't cross that. This far and no more. You're taking a stand with your family. Some of you need to do that with your family. Take a stand for your family. It's part of that armor of God. But I also find that, and I like Elevation's worship song, it says, Sea of Victory. It goes like this. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. I like that. See, that's a spiritual attack. Sometimes Christians sit back. Some kind, they're just observing everything. But there's intended to be a force moving forward with this armor of God. We're taking a stand. We're moving things forward. Like Joseph said with his brothers in Genesis 50, he says, you intended it for evil, but God intended this for good. So Romans 10 says this, just rehearsing. How do they believe unless they hear? How do they hear unless they preach? How do they preach unless they're sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news? It really reflects back and comes out of Isaiah 52:7, which says this. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. Say, bring. Who proclaim, say, proclaim. Peace. Who bring, say, bring. Good tidings. Who proclaim. See, you're catching on. I like that. It's a good church. Proclaim salvation. Who say to Zion, your God reigns. So they bring peace. They proclaim peace. They bring good tidings. They proclaim salvation because your God reigns. So good news is brought to people. It's brought to them. We take it to them. Now, if there's a problem in the church, we want people to come to us. But really, the gospel is to go to where people are. That's the focus, is what it's supposed to be. So it's supposed to go out. The angels declared at the birth of Jesus, this good news was for all people. Sometimes we feel like there are people who are not going to receive this. I think the most unreachable person in the New Testament was Saul, persecuting the church. We don't even have record of anybody in the church evangelizing him, but this was the most unreachable guy, and still there was good news that came to him, and his life was turned around. He became Paul. So there's a word of good news for everyone. I think that's important. Some of you have family members, co-workers, friends, neighbors who don't have a relationship with God. There's a good news for them. Just as wherever we go in the world, there's a good news for those people. It's not a message of confrontation, but it's a message of peace. That's significant. There is a word of peace that breaks down barriers in people's lives. There's a good news that touches hearts. And Jesus tailor-made a message of good news for people. Listen to this. He said, I'm the bread of life. He said, I am living water. He said, you must be born again. He said, sell all you have and give to the poor. And when it came to Zacchaeus, it doesn't even say he gave a gospel message. He's in the house and he said, salvation has come to this house. He tailor-made this message for each person. I think if we've made a mistake in the church, we kind of made it one size fits all. You got to come to the altar. You got to pray. You got to repent. Those things are important, but there's a message that touches the heart. It's like a message designed just for one person. The message doesn't change, but the method is tailor-made for each person. So in some parts of the world, rice is good news for some people, but not for everybody. Sometimes food boxes are good news for a family, but not for everybody. There's an encouraging word that's good news for some people. Helping repair a house is good news for some people. You can go right down the line. In Luke 10, as Jesus sent out the 35 teams of two, he said to them, he wanted them to find the man of peace. Find the man that responds to that word of peace. And that's where I want you to stay. That's where ministry happens. That's where healing, miracles happen. That's where I want you to be. That is the person who responds to the message of peace. That's what he wants. I want you to hear from my wife.
Before I share the story, I had a friend years ago who prayed the armor of God over her children, each of them, before they left the house to go to school every morning. And I think that's a really good thing to do. And she would tell them, now you wouldn't walk out the door naked.
I think there was someone first service that they felt they might walk out naked.
But yeah, I don't want to know.
Nobody in this service.
Don't tell me if you would really do that. I don't want to know that, but she would say, you know, you wouldn't walk out the door naked today. You know, I think the police might get involved. But we walk out of the door spiritually naked many mornings where we have not been fit with the armor of God. And I think this is really important because guess what? We are in a battle. Every day. Sometimes it heats up and we really feel it, but there isn't a day that goes by that you are not in a battle. And if you aren't in a battle for you, you're in a battle for someone else. And if you aren't in a battle for someone else, you know God is going to sovereignly bring you across the path of someone who needs you to fight for them. And I just want to say, you know, one of the things, some of you know that our son is going through a cancer journey, and that's the reason why we came to the States this time. And I just want you to know, Mama Pam is fighting. The boxing gloves are on. I have entered the ring, and I do not plan to leave until the battle is won. And what happens is we often give up. Well, we never get in the ring, or we get in there and we get tired, and we just decide, you know, I fought long enough. No, don't do that. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to do, and you just, and it isn't your strength anyway, by the way. So if you're tired, that means that you're leaning on something other than God, because he promises us the daily strength that we need. Okay.
Wait. Did you hear what she just said? If you're weary, you're leaning on the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Because Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary.
Now, his mom used to say something that I just love, and I quote her often with this, that you can't stop a bird from landing on your head, but you can keep it from building a nest there. And so you have to understand, there may be a thought of defeat that crosses your mind. You're human. Don't let it stay there. Deal with it now. Don't wait to deal with it. Deal with it now. Use the word of God to fight for whatever it is you need to fight for. So years ago, we were traveling, one of our mini trips, and when we landed, our first leg of the trip, the plane was grounded because of weather. And so we had to get a hotel, and we're putting out, you know, money that we hadn't planned on. One of the first ways that we spent money was the taxi cab driver, because the only hotel we could find was 30 minutes away. And so we get in, and by the time we get to the hotel, we have put out $60 for a one-way taxi cab ride to the hotel. Now, you know, maybe that's not a lot of money. I don't know, because I don't keep up with U.S. costs of things, but that felt like a lot of money to us. And so anyway, we get there, we wait for weather to clear to have another flight to leave. And when it was time to leave, and by the way, my husband has mentioned the $60 by this point in time, maybe two or three times, because he just can't let go, you know? You know, $60, one way, cab, driver.
Wait, this is not in the notes.
So anyway, you know, I'm trying to tell him, you know, get over it. But he asked the front desk of the hotel, do you have a taxi driver that you use? And they said, sure, we have one. And because he's thinking, well, maybe they have a relationship and it won't cost quite so much money. And so they call. Up comes the nicest taxi I've ever seen. What was it?
It was a Cadillac.
I mean, I felt like
brand new.
We have become celebrities all of a sudden. I've never ever, I mean, you know, so we get in, very comfortable, very nice. And we knew immediately that the man driving was at least...
He was not from the States.
He was originally not from the States, or if he had been born in the States, he had another ethnicity background. And one of the things...
We ask the question of people all the time, where's your accent from? We don't say, where are you from, but where's your accent from? It just opens up doors, and we did that in this case.
And when we're teaching on evangelism, we say that. The best thing you can do is start a conversation. Don't worry about every scripture you don't know. Don't worry about all the points you don't know. Just start a conversation. And what all that God has ever asked us to do, honestly, is to love people. And people don't want to be invisible. Most people are. And if we will just love them, see them and love them, I'm telling you, the doors that open up are crazy. So we get in this taxi, and Mike asks the question, where's your accent from? And he gives us this story. In fact, I think it was initially, he said, I'm from Lebanon, which we found out later wasn't true. On the way to the airport, we're asking questions.
We have friends from Syria who've lived in Trinidad. And so I was talking about Syria, and he's responding to everything.
Yeah. So, you know, we're just, you know, tell us about your family. Tell us about when did you start being a taxi cab driver? How long have you been in the United States? Among other questions. Just having fun. He goes, you guys are really different. Now, we've been told that a few times in our life. But, you know, my husband, you know, said, well, we love culture. And we love, you know, talking to people about that. We're missionaries. We live in another country. We've traveled to other countries. And so, anyway, we have 30 minutes of getting to know this man. And we are close to pulling up to the airport, and I asked him, would you let us pray a prayer of blessing over your life? Now, he had told us, by the way, I'm not from Lebanon, and my name is not this. I'm from Syria. My name is Adam, and I'm a Muslim. And usually when I start the conversation that way, nobody wants to hear me from there on out. They, you know, a wall goes up. And we said, well, there's no wall here. So anyway, we pull up to the airport, and I'm praying. Now, because I've been asking him questions, when I started praying, I prayed blessing over very specific things because I knew the name of his daughter. I knew how long he'd been in the United States. And I was able to pray blessing because I'd started a conversation. Do you hear me? So as we pull up, I get to the end of my prayer, and I say, in Jesus' name, amen. So my husband then, he'd been sweating for 30 minutes because he was going to ask the question, how much do I owe you? And the man said, are you ready? You have blessed me so much in this car ride. There is no charge. That's what happens when you love on people, when you see them, and when you realize that God loves everyone no matter what, and you start a conversation. That's what happens.
That is the gospel of peace. It just breaks down barriers when you let God do that. Three ways you can pray today then in this area. Pray for God to show you the man or woman of peace. There is somebody today whose heart is open. Somebody in Cedar Rapids, their heart is open. Let God show you. Pray for God's timing and pray for the message that will open their hearts. So I remember the first time I was asked to go to speak at an open air service in a Hindu area. And I didn't know what to say to Hindus. I wasn't certain exactly how I was going to handle this. And so it's at a home, and there's probably 35 people there. Most of them are Hindu. And I've just been praying, Lord, you got to give me something to say. So I started out, and I said, you know, life is hard, traffic is bad, and the price of food, the price of gas, and everything. And everybody's nodding their head at me. And I said, but Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary, and I'll give you rest. I could see it on their faces, something connected. Partway through, I said, because in Hinduism, one of the things they'll talk about is all roads lead to heaven. You go this way, I'll go that way, we'll all get there. And I said, But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And you could see it on their faces. It's like they're reprocessing everything. We wrapped up and I said, you know, when we come to the end of our lives, people say, have I done enough good to outweigh the bad? Most all religions have that type of view. But I talked about how the Apostle Paul says our citizenship is in heaven. And when that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And in that moment, 13 Hindus gave their life to Jesus. There's a gospel of peace that breaks down barriers. Like talk about the gospel of opposition. Ephesians 6:12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So it's really, our struggle isn't people, it's a spiritual struggle. And I can tell you, every one of us know people that seem like they're closed off to the gospel. It isn't, our fight is not against people, it's a spiritual struggle. In fact, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 says that Satan blinded people so they could not see the good news. He blinded them so they couldn't see the good news. That's amazing. So people are trapped so they cannot see a way. It's part of the schemes and strategies. So we take the armor of God because our battle is not against people, it's against spiritual forces. 1 Corinthians 16, Apostle Paul says, but a great door of effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. It goes hand in hand, open doors and opposition. But when we find the opposition, it is, first of all, a spiritual opposition. Colossians 4:3-4 says, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. And I think that there's three ways we can pray here. We can pray, what he's saying there is really, do you see what he's saying? He's saying, pray for an open door for the message and pray that I can proclaim it. That's what the Apostle Paul is asking. When we lived in Des Moines for about 9 years, my neighbor was, we had very little communication except their dog would get into our yard, bite my daughter, and they'd come back. We'd have to call and say, your dog's in our yard again. And then I was a pastor, so Saturday night we're trying to go to bed to get up early for service, getting our spirits ready. But they would have these wild parties. Now, nobody gave me a description of exactly what's there, but it looked like it was not only alcohol, drugs, but probably sex parties also. They were so loud, hard to go to sleep. And I just couldn't figure out anything to do with these people. One day in the winter, I hate snow and ice. I was shoveling. My dad taught us, you shovel, you clear the whole sidewalk. So even as an adult, I'm still doing what my dad taught me. I come to the end, I'm so cold, I'm ready to go inside. And the Holy Spirit said to me, keep shoveling. Shovel your neighbor's walk. I go, God, that's that man. And he said, I told you to shovel the sidewalk. I shoveled the sidewalk. I went back inside, felt good. I was somewhat obedient. 30 minutes later, there's a knock at the door, and my next door neighbor is there with homemade cookies. From that moment, everything changed in the relationship. In fact, he began to talk to me about things going on in their lives. When they're moving, I'm on the front porch with him, praying over his family, praying for what's happening in their lives. He invited me into his life, all because of shoveling snow. That's what was good news. There was opposition. God broke it down. So we pray for eyes to be open, for Satan's strategies to be broken, eyes to be open, Satan's strategies to be broken, and pray for them to hear God speak to them. Let me just share one more about this. We have a lot of street vendors in Trinidad, and so I'm aware of almost all of those that sell gyros are Syrian. And I saw this one, I said, this is not Syrian. I could tell they were from India. And the guy running it was a devout Muslim from India living in Trinidad. And I was just really curious, you know. So I'm buying a gyro there. And they have Muslim propaganda there, you know, tracks you could get. So we're talking, the guy's fascinated that I'm a white guy in Trinidad and all this. And we talk. One day during Ramadan, as I'm talking to him, I said, "So when you pray, what do you pray for?" And he says, "Well, when I first came to Trinidad, I'm praying for money, but now I'm just praying for God's will for my life." I said, "Are you serious? That's what I'm praying for your life. I'm praying God's will for his life." He came unglued. He came out from around his cart, gave me a hug, and says, "You're my best friend." This is a devout Muslim. So I talked to him another day. I said, "So when you pray, you talk to God, but does God talk to you?" He laughed at me. He says, "No, I talk to you, you talk to me, but God doesn't talk to me." And I said, "I am praying for God to speak to you in dreams and visions." Devout Muslim, he fist bumped me. He says, "I have got to come to your church." When you let God break those barriers down, people start to open up. When he gives you a message of peace, it's like something goes, you're coming in the back door and it goes past all those barriers. Last thing I really want to say is the gospel preparation. Ephesians 6:15 says, "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." One translation says, "Shoes put on the readiness to preach the good news of peace of God." Another says, "Ready to share the message of peace." Another says, "Preparations of the gospel of peace." Matthew 4 puts it this way. This is Jesus talking to future disciples. He says, "Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men." NLT says, "I will show you how to fish for men." He says, "You know how to fish for fish, but you don't know how to fish for people. I'll show you." This is gospel preparation. "I will make you, I will show you." That's what he said to Abraham in Genesis 12:2. "I will make you a great nation. You don't know how to do it, but I will do it for you." So this response, our response to sharing the good news, is we usually say, and I know in this audience, many of you will say this about sharing your faith, sharing the good news. We say, "I can't." We say, "I could never." But Jesus says, "Let me make you." Peter denied Jesus 3 times, and it says he even cursed. Probably wouldn't be allowed in most churches today. 50 days later, he preaches and 3,000 people accept the Lord. How does that happen? Because God made him into that person. At the transfiguration in Matthew, as Jesus is going up into heaven, the disciples have been with Jesus 40 days after he raised from the dead. 40 days you're with Jesus who's raised from the dead. And Matthew says, they worshiped and some doubted. Are you serious? You can be with somebody who was dead and is alive for 40 days and some of you still doubt. But 10 days later, God made them and they became the apostles the rest of their life. That's really what we're talking about. We pray like this. Pray for God to prepare you. Pray for God to open doors. Pray for boldness versus fear. I grew up, I wasn't made an evangelist, a missionary. In fact, I hated even inviting people to church. I was scared to death what people were going to say. I was scared I was going to say the wrong things, on and on. When I was first in ministry, I was working with my dad, and there was a guy that invited 6 couples over to his house every Sunday noon, every single Sunday noon. We ate together. He'd share some things with us. It's real just basic stuff, you know, nothing profound, but basic. But he was just, you know, working in our lives. Out of that group, two couples became missionaries, 3 became pastors, board members. It was amazing what came out of this group. But one of the things he said is, I want you to think of someone who you'd like to share your faith with, maybe that's been difficult, and I want you to pray for them for a week that God will work in their life. Then I want you to pray for yourself for a week that God will prepare you and use you. And then I want you to pray that God will open the door. And so I prayed, and I thought, I've got the perfect person. I was working at UPS, unloading trucks at night, and there was a supervisor I wanted to share with him. There's no possible way this would happen. We are so busy unloading trucks, it just couldn't happen. And so I went through the process. I came into work one night, and I had a 40-foot truck to unload by myself. I was complaining. I was hating it. I was down all by myself. No one would help me all night. And suddenly someone comes and starts helping me. I'm unloading, and we're talking, this amazing conversation. And the Holy Spirit says, do you remember what you prayed? And he says, do you notice who you're talking to right now? My supervisor had come in and was working with me, and we talked the entire night. And we get through. He doesn't want to leave. We close the trailer, and we're talking there at the end. And it was something. God opened a door, opened his heart, opened his life. God prepared me for the gospel. And that's what God wants to do with you. Would you stand with me? I want you to put your hands in front of you like this, like you're going to receive a gift. In the name of Jesus, may the Holy Spirit pour through you right now to prepare you for the gospel. In the name of Jesus, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, may a fresh wind of the Spirit touch you right now. May your fears and anxieties go to the foot of the cross. May the Lord guide you. May he direct you. May the Lord show you his timing. May he give you the right word at the right moment in Jesus' name. Where there is opposition to the gospel, may the Lord go before you and break down walls in Jesus' name. Now, some of you right now, you're already thinking about somebody who you know that needs to know Jesus. Could be family member, friend, neighbor. As I pray, I want you to just mention that name to the Lord. So in the name of Jesus, we lift these names to you right now. We're soaking them in prayer, and we're praying that you would begin to open up a door that is not open right now. We say, come, Holy Spirit, open a door. Open a door in Jesus' name right now. In Jesus' name. Father, I'm praying for a harvest for this church that it has never seen before. I'm praying for a harvest across Cedar Rapids that hasn't been seen before. There's been a lot of things seen, but Lord, there's something that hasn't been seen yet. Let there be a shift in this church in Jesus' name. Do something new now in the name of Jesus. You may, while we're praying, you may be here and maybe you come to church or maybe this is your first time, but you know your life isn't right with God. God's got a message of peace for your heart. There's turmoil inside, but the Lord wants to breathe peace into your heart. He wants your sins forgiven. He wants you to be part of his family. If that's you while we're praying, would you just raise your hand and we'd like to pray with you. I got somebody in the back. Who else? Just raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I got at least two people with your hands raised. Would you come to the front? Just real quick, we're closing. Just come to the front. Come on, church, put your hands together. This is good. I'm going to invite Pastor Harris to come and pray with them. Is there anyone else before we're through? You're saying, I think God's got a message of peace for my life. Just come on up real quick. Just come up real quick. If that's you, just come. Anyone else? Yes. Anyone else? Before Pastor prays over you, let me just pray over you, okay, real quick, and then let him do what he wants to do. But in the name of Jesus, may today be the turning point for the rest of your life. In Jesus' name, may things that bind you fall off. May addictions, may thought process, may it be broken and go to the foot of the cross. May there be a freedom that flows from the top of your head down. In the name of Jesus, may his forgiveness and his peace captivate your heart. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, we're going to sing a song in a moment. I'm going to minister to them, and then Michael's going to help me and anybody on your prayer team that can come and help you. we give to this ministry, we're going to give to this ministry. So feel free to, if you mark missions, anything, mark in there. Just put in the offering. You can give online as well. Everything that goes this month to missions will go directly to the missions work that they're doing. But let me pray for us before we go, and we're going to sing and go. Please be respectful. We're going to minister to them. God loves that somebody came to Christ. A soul has come to Christ, and all of heaven rejoices. So let's join heaven.
Praise God. Come on now, church.
Let's celebrate, church. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you. We bless you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for freedom and deliverance. Thank you for everything that you do, God. We pray for a sozo life. We pray that our life is complete inside and out, every part of us, every part of our being. We thank you for these souls that are coming to say yes to Jesus, that they need you. Our Holy Spirit, right now, fill them to completion. From the top of their head to the soles of their feet to their fingertips, may they feel the anointing and the presence and the power. Anything that is hindering them, be gone in the name of Jesus. Any sickness, be gone in the name of Jesus. Any mindset that is wrong right now, be broken by the blood of Jesus. We pray for a healing. We pray for addictions to go in the name of Jesus. No sickness, no disease, no drugs, no alcohol, no perversion will hold them anymore. They are free, and they are free indeed. It says in your word that when the Son sets us free, we are free indeed. And I claim their life right now. I prophesy to them that they will not go back to the old ways of living. They will live a new life with a new mind, and they'll be made new in Christ. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the deliverance and the healing that's taking place. God, now I just pray that you just show them your love. Fill them right now in Jesus' name.